springtime. This is the final installment in the Soul Seasons series. Today we're going to talk about springtime, the season of new beginnings. Suddenly you feel the pulse of the world returning. The mornings are brighter, the skies are bluer, the air is fresher. It's like the earth is coming to alive after that long winter's nap. The grass is greener, the trees are fuller. There's a feeling of rejuvenation in the air that's not present in any other season of the year. Nature's rejoicing, and it is impossible not to rejoice with it. Warmer weather, that's the warm sun on your skin tells you something's different. Flowers, colors are everywhere. Daffodils, yellow, red tulips, purple hyacinths, white lilies. Rain. There's nothing so soothing as that spring rain that nourishes the earth. And it's also fun to break out the shorts, you know? To break out the shorts and the flip-flops. Anything more exciting than a spring picnic before the mosquitoes have woke up? The days are longer and longer and allows us to enjoy it a little bit more. The spring enlivens the earth. It enlivens us at the same time. You leave the window open at night. Can't do that in the summer. It's too hot. You can't do it in the winter. It's too cold. But in the springtime, it's wonderful. Saturday afternoons when you hear the lawnmowers crank up for the first time in the neighborhood. And you smell freshly cut grass. There's an optimism in the air in spring. It's like there's an extra pep in our step. It's like an extra dose of enthusiasm. Birds are suddenly singing their songs again. Makes an unbelievable start to the day when you wake up on Sunday morning and hear the birds. Green here, green there, green everywhere. Everything gets greener and greener by the day. And those holidays we love, St. Patrick's Day, that's very green. And then there's Good Friday, and then there's Easter, and there's Earth Day, whatever that is. And then there's Mother's Day. I don't know, everything's full of flowers and green. Spring cleaning happens. Oh yeah, it's a good time for decluttering our lives. It's a great way to start spring. Springtime! All things are new. It's not hard to understand why spring is such an important time of the year and everybody's favorite in a lot of ways. Right now, as I'm saying these things, everybody's sitting there just smiling. See, even just talking about springtime brought smiles to your faces, especially when it's so hot outside. Be nice if we could run right on into spring, wouldn't it? It's a spiritual parallel, too. It's not hard to even see it. Forgiveness. Resurrection, new beginnings, the infusion of new life, optimism, passion, renewal, warmth. Remember, Pentecost happens in the springtime. It's easy to start remembering of thinking about the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Sort of brings me to the scripture I want to use today as a symbol of spring. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Ah, springtime. Now what I want to do, rather than just continuing to paint a picture of spring, I'm not an artist. But I do want to bring two things to you that you all know very well about springtime. They are both blessings and warnings about springtime. And I want to draw a spiritual parallel to them. First of all, let's talk about something very common in the springtime. It's called the spring surprise. You know, sometime in February, we celebrate Groundhog Day. That's when old Puxatawny Phil, somewhere in western Pennsylvania, comes out and he looks to see if he sees his shadow. And supposedly, if he sees his shadow, we're going to have, 6 more weeks of winter? Now, none of us really believes that. And the reason is because we live in Alabama. And after Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow, we know it's not going to be six more weeks of winter. It's just going to be about three or four. Because things are going to get moving down here a little quicker than they do in western Pennsylvania. We know that not long after Groundhog Day, the daffodils show up overnight. Isn't that fun? Just little buttercups. Whoop, there they are. You're driving down the road and everything's dark. And all of a sudden you look and see these little yellow buttercups over there. Peaches begin to put out their leaves on the peach trees. And those azaleas, they don't have those in western Pennsylvania. Those azaleas begin to pop with color. And you say, oh, it's coming. And then those weeds begin to sprout all over our front lawn. And we say, oh, it's springtime. It's time to call the guy that sprays the green stuff on top of them to kill them. Get the lawnmower out. Get excited. Head to the garden center. Start buying plants and potting soil. Pull out the flip-flops and the shorts. Spring is here. And then Jerry Tracy and James Spann say that awful four-letter word that kids love and parents hate. Snow. Suddenly a cold front comes through. And we hear, oh, all the peach blossoms down in Chilton County are frozen. Peaches are going to cost three times as much this year. Then we hear, we go outside and the little daffodils have just wilted. And the azaleas have lost their pop. Well, it felt like spring. It was warm. It was alive. Summer was surely just around the corner. But wait, alas, winter is not finished yet. Spring that springs too early is not spring at all. It causes lots of problems. I always find myself in this thing. I am so excited. I like plants and stuff. I like growing stuff. And so I'm so excited in the springtime when it all feels right. I go and I find my caladium bulbs. Now, I like caladiums. They're summer. They're summer plants. But I'm ready to plant my caladium bulbs. It's warm outside. Put them down in that dirt. Cover them up. Can't wait for them to come. And almost every year I lose a bunch of caladium bulbs because they rot in the ground because it's too wet and the ground's not warm yet. I got taken by the spring surprise as well. You see, spring is a time for warming. It's not already warm, it's just a time for warming. My zeal to get my caladiums planted robs me of the joy of watching them come up. I jump ahead, enjoying the warmth and using the warmth to prepare. Sort of tricked me, and I got in a hurry, and I started preparing for summer when I hadn't done spring yet. Spring is a time for warming the earth, not a time for getting the bushels ready to harvest or ready to put all the fertilizer on the tomatoes. They're just not ready yet to bear. Springtime of the soul is supposed to be our time of preparation. Not our time of flourishing and harvesting. Ever jump ahead? Ever get ahead of God? I have. I was at the most incredible wedding not long ago. Peggy and I were privileged to be at the wedding. Lewis and Jordan got married down in Atmore. And one of my favorite things ever, we're up there. I'm one of the pastors up there. And Lewis is looking into Jordan's beautiful eyes and pastor says, Lewis, do you take Jordan? I do. He said, now, wait a minute, Jordan. Wait a minute, Lewis. We're not quite finished yet. Have you ever jumped ahead? You just got so excited about what's going on, you decided to just jump right on ahead of God? It happens. It's like spring fever. That's what spring fever is. Spring fever says, I'm going to live like it's summer already. We deal with spring fever. Anybody that's in education and that has anything to do with school, we have the same situation here in Master's Commission in our school here. When spring hits, everybody says, I'm finished. It's summertime. I'm ready to go. That's called spring fever. And people miss the purpose of spring because they're living in summer and it's not summer yet. It's not summer yet at all. Moses knows what that was like. Moses found out that he was really a Hebrew. And he sort of felt this need to set his people free. God had already placed in him the reality. He needed to set his people free. So he decided to do it his way. Jumped right ahead of God, killed the Egyptian. And what did God have to do? God had to send him to the wilderness for umpteen years to prepare him because he jumped straight into summer and didn't do spring. The time of preparation hadn't happened in Moses. He hadn't even been on the mountain and met God and stood in his warming presence. He hadn't seen the burning bush yet. He had only gotten the idea and decided, that's it, that's what I'm going to do. And he jumped ahead of God. It happened with Abraham too. God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham said, all right, promises for now. These guys must have owned microwaves because they know exactly how we feel. I want it now, 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 now. He wanted it now. So as a result, Abraham ended up with Ishmael instead of Isaac. Getting ahead of God. We miss spring. We miss the very reason God prepares us for things. I remember as a young youth pastor here, one of the most exciting things was watching some of those famous singers, and whether they be rock stars or pop singers or whatever from the time that I was growing up, hearing that they had gotten saved was just the most awesome thing. Anybody remember when Bob Dylan got saved? Anybody remember that? Bob Dylan got saved. Yeah, he did. He did, and he immediately, I mean, he hadn't been saved a couple of months, immediately somebody said, we need to put an album out. So they stuck Bob Dylan in a recording studio, and he recorded an album called Slow Train Coming. Anybody remember? It was really quite good. It was really fun. I loved it. Slow Train Coming. It was all Christian songs. The problem was Bob Dylan was barely a Christian. I mean, barely a Christian. Hanging on. He probably was still getting sober while he was recording the album. And the sad thing about it was his Christianity didn't last very long. Because Bob Dylan didn't go through spring. Somebody saw some new life in him and stuck him, not in summer, stuck him right into fall. Time to produce fruit. Get out there. Preach, preach, preach. He didn't even know who Jesus was hardly. Somebody had him out there recording albums, doing concerts. Same thing happened to B.J. Thomas. Remember that one? Remember when B.J. Thomas was all the rage in the Christian world? I remember going to Montevallo and seeing B.J. Thomas in concert down there singing all the Christian songs, and people were wanting him to sing Lay, Lady, Lay and all these different things, and he was going, he was torn. He didn't know what was going on in his life. Sorry about that. He didn't know what was going on. And the truth is, the media especially in the business world, they wants to say, oh man, I see a Christian recording artist. Money, I see it now. Come on, get out there. And they skip the time of plowing and warming and planting and establishing. And they went straight to producing fruit. And there was nothing to produce. Getting ahead of God can be just like one of those spring surprises that happens in Alabama when the peach leaves freeze. When winter's not quite finished yet. Spring's a time to warm the soul. It's a time to enjoy the presence of the Lord, to bask in His Word and learn His ways. It's to see His arm extended and to rejoice in new life. It's not a time for heavy lifting. It's not a time for bearing much fruit. It's not a time of harvest. It's springtime. It's time to take out the old and put on the new. Take off the heavy clothes and put on the fresh new clothes. It's not the time to jump ahead to summer and harvest. It's springtime. Then the second thing that we all know very well about spring and Alabama. Spring storms. What happened just last year in Tuscaloosa and Pratt City, or 2 years ago, whatever it was 2 years ago, wasn't it? Tuscaloosa and Pratt City, the destruction. Just as the beauty of spring was on us, the storms were unleashed. Spring of the soul is the very same. It's a time of, in the middle of great hope and great emotion, great passion, there's also great danger. When I was a little kid, growing up in the 50s and 60s, I remember there was a common denominator that all grandparents had. If you had grandparents that lived nearby in Alabama, they all had a storm pit. Anybody's grandma and granddad had a storm pit? You know what I'm talking? Yeah, come on, got the storm pit going. And we would go to grandma's house, and she or granddad would look up and go, "There's a cloud coming." No, duh. But they called a storm a cloud. "There's a bad cloud coming. We need to get it down in the pit." And many, many times as the wind began to blow, we would all go down the storm pit and they would light the candles down. It was real exciting. I loved it. It was really fun. I was hoping storms would come because I wanted to go down the pit. Everybody had a storm pit. You know why they had a storm pit? Because they knew very well what spring storms were in Alabama. They knew very well what happened during those times. Let me tell you what I think. Satan hates springtime. Satan hates it whenever there's a new pep in your step. Satan hates it when new things begin to happen in your life and you begin to clean some things up in your life. You begin to do the spring cleaning in your soul. Satan hates it. And the one thing he wants to do is send one blast of a cold front to clash with that warm air, just like it happens in Alabama in the springtime. He wants to bring a storm into your life as quickly as you begin to feel new life inside of you. Storms come when a blast of winter shows up and it challenges the new warmth of spring. And Satan does that every time. He loves to challenge it. In Jesus' parables, it would be when the birds come and steal the seed as soon as it's sown. All right, for instance, someone comes to Jesus. Let's just say here at the front, at the altar with the prayer team. Let's say somebody comes and visits and they walk down the aisle and they accept Jesus in their heart and everybody at Kingwood's going, "Oh, we're so happy for you. You're a brand new believer." Everybody loves on them and, "Man, we got places for you. We got a path for you to walk on. We're ready to go." And we give them, a cup. We do all these wonderful things. You got free coffee, Here we go. You're all saved. And they go home. And the family and the friends are not rejoicing at all. In fact, the family and the friends become this negative. "What's wrong with you? But you can't change." And there comes that cold front hitting them right in the face, causing this storm. Satan loves it when the cold front hits that brand new warmth and causes a storm to brew. He loves it. He can wipe them out quickly. Palm Sunday was a springtime event. It was springtime in Jerusalem, and Jesus was on the back of a white donkey as he went into the city, and people grabbed fresh palm leaves and began to say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." It was springtime in Jerusalem. The guy that might just be Messiah, the one who just raised Lazarus from the dead, was riding into the city, and people thought, "Yay, yay, it's here, it's here." And within a week, the same voices that said Hosanna were saying, "Crucify him." Spring storms. Sometimes that spring storm is an immaturity and a pride inside of us that wreak havoc right when God's doing something in us. I've got a story to tell. You know me, I love to tell stories. Some of you have heard this before. Jimmy Ruth, this is for you. But this is one that probably, when I think about springtime storms, I think about this in my life. I started, like Pastor Jay, I started my life with Jesus early. And I felt the call of God early. And I, I, when I was 16 years old, 16, my local church licensed me to preach. Nobody should do that. Anyway, they did. Well, that was a crown of glory on my head. And I was just really happy about that. And so I was asked to speak at different places, like a little youth revival or whatever. And man, it didn't take but about two or three sermons that people were just amazed that the 16-year-old was preaching, that I felt like the second coming of Billy Graham. I'm serious. It was springtime in my life. It was springtime inside of me, man. There was new life in me. I was feeling. And then about that time, I go and receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which was also springtime in my life. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I was not only a preacher, I was better than everybody else preacher. I was filled with the Holy Spirit as opposed to the rest of them who weren't. So I remember I got invited to Big Springs Baptist Church. Big Springs is out in the country, near a big spring. And it was one of those big wooden churches with the tall windows. There was no air conditioning, so they would raise the windows up, you know, and they were going to have a youth revival and invite, really they didn't have any youth at the church, so they had a youth revival to invite the youth from other churches to come to their church for a youth revival. And all the adults came too. And I was going to be the speaker for three wonderful nights. And so I was so excited about that. And I remember one night, it was probably the first night, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to go. I was going to tear Big Springs up. I was so excited. It was springtime in me, but I was jumping way ahead. I was already harvesting the great crops of all autumn. And I hadn't even had a plow touch my ground. Well, as I was preaching, the windows were wide open. It was in the summer. And horseflies from the local pasture, where the cows are, came in to visit. And you know, horseflies sound like dive bombers when they're inside of a building. Yum, yum. Well, everybody's up there, you know. That's just the way it was. They were used to it. And I was totally, totally offended that they were not listening to me. They were swatting flies. And I didn't like it that the flies were challenging me as well. And so I had just read a book. And that book had told me that because I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had authority over nature. There is no 16-year-old boy in the universe that has authority over nature. But I did. And so I stopped and said, folks, the enemy has sent horseflies in here to distract us. The Bible says we have authority over nature. And so I'm going to declare my authority over these horseflies. We're going to declare that they leave, and they're going to leave this building so we can finish. I was totally convinced that was going to happen. The book told me it would happen. It happened in the book, so it's got to happen with me. That book, they cast out mosquitoes, and they cast out like rabid dogs and stuff. So I know a horsefly would be easy. So right there, I saw my mother on the back row. My mother just put her head down. And I remember seeing her with her hand over her eyes. And I know in my heart my mother is interceding. No, she wasn't. She was hiding. And so I, with great authority, said, in the name of Jesus, I took authority over those things. And when I said Jesus, a big old horsefly centered my front teeth right there. Just pow, committed suicide right there. And I spit fly everywhere. That was a spring storm in Mark Sims' life. Let me tell you what that was. That was a very much needed tornado. It was so humiliating to me. I threw the book away. It was humiliating to me. I remember it. And people laughed just like you did, which I wasn't looking for. And I remember that was one of those days I wish I could just take it all back. That was a spring storm, because let me tell you what I did. I got ahead of God. I decided I was going to be far beyond where God had taken me. Here's why. There had been no plowing in my life. There had been no spring cleaning in my life. There had been no changes inside of my life. Just zeal. Just power. Just read a book. I was ready to go. I had received a calling from God. But I understand now why the scripture says lay hands suddenly on no man. Especially 16-year-olds that have just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Springtime is the time for plowing. For cleaning. And I don't mean just cleaning the house. I'm talking about cleaning those nasty weeds out of the garden. Those weeds that just thrive in the winter. Trying to pull those things up. If you plant a garden and you don't take the weeds out first, you got troubles. That garden is never going to make it. Because what you do is you get rid of the weeds and you plant the stuff and hope the plants grow quicker than the weeds come back. It's a time of preparation. It's a time to use your new energy and the extra daylight you have to do spring things. Not to do summer and fall things, but to do spring things. Preparation. Taking in new life. Learning. Growing. Cleaning. Plowing. Loosening up the tough soil. Let's look at it one more time. Isaiah chapter 40. This is springtime to me. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fall. That would be me. But those who, look at it, wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Springtime is that time in our life where we give God permission to plow and to clean and to rejuvenate, so that when the summer comes, we will run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. Where when the tough times come in the summer and the heavy lifting comes in the fall for harvest, and the dark time comes in the winter of testing, the spring will have prepared us for all of those things. But instead, we let our zeal zip right past spring, right into summer. Unprepared. Unplowed. And not clean at all. This is the day for springtime in your soul. It's a great day. Cleaning is awesome. Plowing is good. The warmth of God's presence makes all of that feel good to your soul. Don't skip it. Don't skip it. Don't skip it. Be aware. Spring surprises happen. And springtime storms always come. Let spring do what spring is supposed to do in your life. Today, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the prayer team, if you'll go on and come now, if you will. Come and stand here. I want to tell you something about the altar call today. Today, we're going to ask you to ask yourself, if this is springtime in my life, if this is springtime in my life, and I'm beginning to feel that extra thing going on inside of me, I'm beginning to notice that little extra pep in my step. I want God to not move this past me without me enjoying what springtime is. I'm not ready, Lewis, to say I do before I hear all the vows. I want to ask you, would you be willing in a few moments to come and to say, I want to give God permission to plow in my life. My soul's hard. I'm ready for springtime in my life. Lord, take the plow to my life. The plow breaks up the ground. It's not always pleasant either. Take the plow to my life and break up that hard soil. Get rid of those weeds. God, I give you permission to do some cleaning in me, to do some spiritual cleaning in me. There's no way harvest time will come without a cleaning out of that garden of your life, without God being able to take what doesn't belong there. And listen, if you try to skip that step, you will not have a harvest. It won't happen. Give God permission today to clean you, to plow, to empower, and to prepare. We're going to ask God to do that right now. Some of you right now are feeling the storm of spring. I feel the Lord speaking this to me. Some of you right now, you're in springtime, but you're in the storm of spring, and the enemy, Satan, has come against you and is trying to wipe out every gain God has recently made in your life. He's trying to come right now and strip the new leaves from the trees. He's trying to come right now and try to discourage you and make you think it's not always this way. Let me tell you what. Those who've never been through winter and fall or anything, springtime's all they know. Let me tell you what, there's a lot more to it. Springtime will prepare you. It won't be just all about smelling the flowers. But those who appreciate springtime the most are those of you that have been through some winters. You know how important that winter was to get those roots established. I've got elephant ears at my house. This is what I noticed. My newly planted elephant ears didn't do near as good as the ones who survived the winter. Those are huge. The rest of them I have to baby. Some of you have been through a winter. It's time for spring in your life. Give God permission to do spring things.